Well, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, church family. I am enjoying a cup of Starbucks because my family brought me coffee when they came to church this third service. I'm telling you, that is pretty...
Hey, you know one thing that you've taught me? What's celebrated gets repeated.
So let's celebrate, church family. I just want to say thank you, but...
I thought they were bringing it for the preacher of the day.
I know. Today, Chris is going to be speaking for us. We are so blessed to have him share really what God's doing in his life. If you've had a chance to read the email this week, it's a hard email to read because it talks about Chris stepping down from the worship leading capacity, moving more into an elder role capacity in our church as he takes over his family business, his father's business in the near days. And so there's a bit of a transition, which I hate, but I also know that God's working in your life. So Chris has been praying through and walking through this for 6 or 7, 8 months, a long time, and being completely cards down with us, just telling us about what's happening, praying through, allowing us to pray with him. And so I know God's leading him as much as I don't like it. I can't argue with what God's doing or what you feel like God's leading you to do. But at the same time, I'm excited that you're still here. And as you make a transition over the next few weeks from being less of a worship role, we'll get to hear you more in the speaking roles and as you develop your gift, your teaching gift. And I was telling Chris earlier and reminding our church that in just about every case of leadership development in God's word, of great leaders that God uses, there's always a season of a confusion period of kind of wandering, but it's also more development. Myself included, spending 12 years at Verizon being developed for some of the things I still do today. So I know that God's going to use it in a big way. We'll be patient for that time. We pray that it's a short preparation for you, but I'm grateful to have you speak here today. So I'm going to shut up so that you can preach, but let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in Chris's life. I thank you for the friendship and the true friend that he's been to me over the years. Mm-hmm. Lord, this is hard for us, but we also understand you've got a plan. And so we're going to adjust ourselves to understanding that plan and trusting you in that plan. And we pray, God, that you would do great things through Chris's life as you continue to do. I know you've got great things planned for him, Father. So be with him as he finishes this message today. And may you bless us for being a part of it. May he disciple us today as we learn some of these valuable lessons. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hey, and one quick shout out. Your family did an amazing job on the video for Christmas Eve, man. Really, really. What an actor, man. What an actor. Good job.
I got to say, my wife was a natural for sure, and my kids did it was a lot of fun getting to do that. And anyway, I'm excited to be here. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I don't take this lightly that I have the opportunity to speak here today from this platform. But I want to tell you a little bit about my story and kind of just take you along the journey. Some of the things in my life you may know some of these things about me as I've gotten to know a lot of you, but I think it's worth recounting a little bit that leads us to today in this moment in this decision. But it really started when I was 17. And if you know anything about me, if you've heard any stories or whatever you know, I felt called to ministry at 17 years old. And I knew that for my life, what I wanted to do with my life was to surrender it to the Lord. And to work in full-time ministry. I didn't know the capacity. I didn't know whether it would be through, I really didn't think at the time it'd be through leading worship. I thought it would be through working in student ministry. And I remember I had that calling, and I had an opportunity when I was 17. I was graduating high school. My aunt, who lives in Tennessee, she used to live in Tennessee, she said that I could come and live with her and I could go to, there's a school called Tennessee Temple. You may have heard of that before, but I had a really, really great opportunity because my aunt, her name is not Aunt Carol. I call her Aunt Carol, but she's a Southern belle, you know. She's one of those, like, nicest lady in the world, fantastic cook. Anybody like Southern food? You know what I'm talking about? I had this opportunity to go in to live with their family, to potentially go to Tennessee Temple and go and get my Bible degree and do what I knew that God was calling me to do. But I moved to Plant City because I was really wise back then. And I was going to conquer the world on my own. I was going to really do nothing for, this is what it felt like for a couple years. I went to HCC out in Plant City. I found a place for a guy that I knew in the church I was going to at the time, and I ended up living in his studio apartment above his garage, and it was just a weird time. I didn't do what I knew I should have done in that moment. But fast forwarding to today, so now I'm here. I am full-time at this church as the worship leader. My journey to get to full-time ministry, I think it's kind of been a little unorthodox. I've kind of had some hiccups along the way, but I've served in churches, and some churches I was working full-time for my dad's company, doing AC work, and then at the same time I was volunteering as the worship leader, and a lot of churches have that, and they don't have a full-time worship guy, or they don't have a full-time student guy, or whatever the case may be, and I did that for a little while. I've served in churches part-time as the worship leader for the student ministry, and then the other half of it was a custodian at the church, and it sounds crazy, but I actually enjoyed cleaning at the church for a while because I used to listen to sermons, and I just put my headphones in, I did my job, and I got to serve in ministry, and it was great. It was fantastic. But I've been on this journey to get to this place that I am now, to get to a place where I'm full-time. My heart, my attention is devoted to God's kingdom, and that's my job, not just my calling, if that makes sense. And here I am. Well, taking you back a little bit, 2 years ago, I don't know if you caught this in the story. I didn't finish my degree. I wish I would have, but I just didn't. I did other things, and I just didn't finish it. 2 years ago, I now, if you know my family, you got to see them on the broadcast. I am married with a plethora of children, and we have a good time, and we are it's a little crazy, but it's our crazy, and we love it, and it's fun, and I'm like, hey, there's not a better time to finish college than when you are married with children and working full-time at a church. That's the best time, right? So I enrolled at Trinity College, and I started the Quest program, and I finished the semester, but in the middle of that, there was something that was happening here at North Point. You may have heard about this, the EDC course that was an elder development course. And I had the privilege to be a part of that. So while I was enrolled at Trinity, I had this opportunity. I'm like, okay, this is a really unique opportunity that it's going to be like here at my job where we're going to meet. I'm going to be able to dive in. I'm going to be able to learn. And with the potential at the end of it to be ordained as a minister to the gospel, which is something I've wanted since I was 17. I've wanted to become a pastor. I've wanted this. And I'm like, well, that's great. So I pushed pause on Trinity. I said, yeah, let's do it. And we went through the course. And about, I guess, 6 or 7 months ago, as we are finishing up this elder development course, I had a conversation with my parents about the possibility and the opportunity to take over the family business. It was one of those things that I remember the conversation, and I remember them talking about it. And, you know, at first I was kind of like, no way. Why would I do that? I love my job here. I was resistant to it. But I just started praying. I said, all right, God, you know what? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek your face the best that I can. I'm going to get godly counsel from different people here in our church or some other local pastor friends, or I've got some pastor friends in other states, and just I'm going to seek out what you want me to do with my life and make sure that I am aligned with your plan for me. No matter what that looks like, I'm going to surrender to that. So what's the point in me telling you all this? This is what it boils down to. I did not want to make this decision. to step away from this position. And when I say want, what I mean, I don't mean that I don't understand the privilege or the opportunity, because it is a good opportunity for my family. And I recognize that. And I'm grateful. I'm extremely grateful that I have the opportunity. But it's not what I want to do. I love this church. I love my job. I don't love hot summers in Florida. You know, it's just one of those things. And I said, all right, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take one step at a time. And I'm going to do my very, very best to just trust you throughout the process. So that's what I've been doing. That's been the journey that I've been on. In the middle of my ordination class of becoming ordained to be a minister of the gospel, I was praying about the possibility of stepping down from my role here at the church. That doesn't make sense. But that's where I've been. I say all that to say this. We're going to read some scripture in Jeremiah. And this is a story you've heard before. This is a story of the potter and the clay. And my hope and prayer is really just that you can hear from the Lord today through not because of me communicating, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. My hope is that God will do what only he can do, and he will speak some truth into your life in a way that you leave this place just thinking and pondering that you are doing what God has called you to do, that you are in the place that God wants you to be. I just want you to consider that today. But we're going to jump in. This Jeremiah chapter 18, the potter and the clay. This is what it says, in starting in verse 1. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, it said, the Lord told Jeremiah, it said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, just talking about Jeremiah, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If in any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, in verse 10, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Verse 11, now therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, this is what they responded with, that is in vain. We're going to follow our own plans, and every one of us is going to act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. What? They got a message from Jeremiah. He said, y'all need to tighten up. You're about to reap some disaster. And their response was, nah, we're good. Even calling them their own hearts evil, like that doesn't even make sense to me. But that's what they responded with, right? Go to verse 15. It says, but my people, they've forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods and idols that have made them stumble in their ways. They were walking away from the Lord. They weren't walking with the Lord during this time. And we kind of see that over the course of Israel, the over book upon book in God's word, that you see that there's a cycle. This is what they do. This is the story of the potter and the clay. And we're going to watch a video, and I want you to pay close attention to the details of the narrator, the words that he says, because they're important. So pay attention to this video. Pay attention to the words. Check this out.
We are like clay. Static. Unrecognizable. Nothing. A formless mass with no direction, no purpose, no meaning. We are like clay. Pliable, movable, moldable. In the hands of the Creator, we can be changed. Made beautiful, given life. Nothing becomes something extraordinary. The transformation takes time. The process is tedious, difficult, painstaking. But soon, we see the beginnings of something wonderful. The formless takes shape. The unrecognizable finds its identity. The meaningless is given purpose. From nothing comes beauty. We are like clay. Each piece different than the next. Given unlimited potential in the hands of the potter.
We are like clay. That guy had a cool voice, didn't he? If I had a voice like that, I would make videos all day. That's just what I would do. He said, we are like clay, though. He said some of the things, nothing becomes something extraordinary. This transformation takes time. The process is tedious, difficult, painstaking. But soon we see the beginnings of something wonderful. From nothing comes beauty. We are like clay. And at the very end, given it unlimited potential in the hands of the potter. And the narrator in this video, he makes an assumption. He says, we are like clay. As I listened to it, I started thinking, are we? Are we actually like clay? Are we actually pliable and moldable? Are we at a place where we're surrendering our life to where no matter what God told us to do, we would just say yes. We would just say, yeah, I trust you, God. Yes. And that's kind of been the journey that I've been on. We're talking about this potter's wheel and just being transformed, molded, being pliable. And all of those things are possible as long as we haven't hardened our hearts against what the Lord is doing. This is a finished work, but it's not moldable anymore. It's not pliable. It is what it is at this point. In that video, the two most important words for me that stuck out, there was a lot of things that this guy said, but the two words that jumped at me when he said it was the process. He said the process. And as I think about the story in Jeremiah and the potter's wheel and the potter's house and what God told Jeremiah to do, I feel like there's maybe four different places you may be at. So this is just pay attention to these four things. This is where there may be others, but when it comes to the process of this Christian walk, there's four places you may find yourself. Some of you, maybe you've never been to the potter's house. And what I mean is maybe you've never actually taken the first step of faith. Maybe you've been coming to church for 2 months, 6 months, 20 years, but you've never actually trusted in Jesus as your Savior. You've never read in Scripture and said, you know what, God, I believe that your word is true. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, came to be my substitute for my sin. He died the death that I should have died and then wasn't defeated by it, But he actually overcame sin. He overcame death. He was resurrected to life. I believe that. I put my faith and trust in the name of Jesus. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you're in the potter's house, if you will, but you're not on the wheel yet. You've prayed and you've said, God, I believe that that's true. I believe what your word tells me is true. I believe that Jesus Christ is your son, and I trust him as my savior. But you haven't surrendered to him. You guys awake? There's a difference. There's a difference between trusting that God is your Savior and surrendering your life to him. It's quiet. Maybe you're right in the middle. Maybe you're in this, you're on the potter's wheel, and you're going through something in your life. Maybe there's trouble in paradise. Maybe there's things with your kids. Maybe you lost a loved one. Maybe whatever it is, and there was that tool that the potter was using for the bottom where they like scrape the edge. Maybe that's what you feel like God is doing right now. He's scraping and you're hurting. It hurts and it is painful. Or maybe you're at a place where you've been on the potter's wheel for a long time. You, in the past, you were moldable and pliable and shapeable in the hands of the potter, but you've since hardened your heart a little bit. Maybe something you went through led you to turn your back on God. You know he's real. You believe that he's real. You believe that he's God in heaven and Jesus is his son. You believe what Christianity is, but your hearts are hard. You're not really changing. Maybe you're coming to church every Sunday and not growing in your relationship with Jesus. Folks, that's possible. There's this process, though. And the last few months, I've kind of been on this journey, and I've, as I've thought about this process and thought about some of the different places we could be, I've learned a lesson that I already knew. If that makes sense to you. If you've experienced that, you know what I'm talking about. This is the thought, okay? You got everybody lean in just a little bit. I want you to get ready for this. This is going to be a nugget. This is going to be profound. You ready? You're not already. Some of you haven't moved. I said lean in. You can trust the Lord. You can trust the Lord. That's not really that profound. What are you talking about? It's not. It's simple. You can trust the Lord. I see some head nodding. I see some people that have experienced what it is to trust the Lord. There's a verse in Proverbs, you guys have probably heard it. I want you to finish it with me. But it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, to trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your path. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. You can trust in the Lord. Everyone say trust. Yes. Say it again, trust. What does that mean? I tried to come up with some really like slick analogy thing. I'm just not good at that stuff. But this is what I came up with. This is where my mind went to when I started thinking about trust. And if you know anything about me, you'll understand why. This is what I came up with. But part of it is because my love language is food. That's one of, I think Gary Chapman, he missed one. I love food. And I started thinking about trust. But this was before I looked up the definition of trust. And this is what my mind thought of. It's crazy. But I said, you know, so say you were at Chipotle and you're behind the counter, right? And I ordered a burrito that's got all the chicken and the guacamole, sour cream, all those things that I want. And I give you the $8 for it. I can trust that you're going to give me that burrito. That's what I came up with for trust. That's good, right? That's deep. Could be spicy. I don't do spicy, but I'm a weenie. But what does trust mean? I think it's a little deeper than that. This is what it means. I looked it up. To have confidence in or set one's hope in. I said, okay, so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to make your path straight. Started thinking about the Jeremiah, the potter, these things. The children of Israel, they stopped turning to the Lord. They had hardened their hearts to the Lord. It actually talks about in Jeremiah 19, and I don't even want to tell you some of the things that they were doing because there are children in the room. It was horrific. It was so bad. And Jeremiah, can you imagine, just put yourself in Jeremiah's shoes for a minute. He came and told them what we read in chapter 18. And you think they were all like happy, right? They're like, oh, Jeremiah, thank you for this wonderful news of giving us this prophecy of how the Lord's going to judge us. No, they wanted to get rid of him. They were plotting to get him out of there. They didn't want to hear it. They were clearly said that we're not going to listen to you. That's in vain. The next chapter, the Lord says, okay, Jeremiah, I want you to go to the potter's house, and I want you to buy one of the pots or the flask or whatever they call them, and I want you to bring it back to the elders and the priests and the leaders, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And he said, you're going to take this flask, and you are going to prophesy to them about the judgment that's now coming, because they're not hearing the Lord's voice. And he basically, in their faces, said, this is all the things that you're doing. And I went and I bought this flask, and this is what the Lord told me to tell you. And he tells them all the stuff that they've been doing. And he says, the Lord says to me that your hearts are hardened. And Jeremiah takes the flask and he slams it down. I really want to do it. My wife is here, and this is hers. Please? No. I don't even know if it'd break. This is a pretty nice one. But it was imagery, and he told Jeremiah, they understood. They knew what a potter's wheel was. And he broke it, and he said, this is what's, you guys, I told you. It's the principle of reaping and sowing. We've heard about that, right? That's just truth. That's just real. That's life. That's what happens. But depending on where you are in the process, that's going to sound different to you because you're in a different place. But no matter where you are, if you are hardened, if your heart is, if you're just done, if you're like, I don't even know what this thing, Christianity, I don't even know. I don't, is that real? I'm telling you today, as your friend, you can trust and the Lord. It's easy to say, right? I could stand up here all day and talk to you about the different things that you will find in God's word that are, they're easy for the words to come out of my mouth, but it's much harder to live. It's much harder to do. And for me over this journey, I hope you don't mind me just kind of sharing this with you, because I'm I knew that I could trust the Lord before this process for me. I knew that. I knew the Lord was trustworthy, right? I have been blessed to, I grew up in church. I grew up in a home where, my cousin was the pastor of the church that I grew up in. And I'm so grateful that I had a foundation. And I knew that I could trust in the Lord. But there were moments over the last few months, where I was sitting where you are right now. I was sitting in the service. I was listening to whether it's Pastor Steve or one of the other people who were preaching that day. And there were these moments that came, and I'm like, okay, I know where, I can feel where he's going with this message. This is going to be the moment where God is going to whisper into my ear and just say, hey, you don't have to do this. You've taken the steps. I see that you're going to trust me. It's okay. And I know that this may be a little bit of a stretch, and I think about Abraham and Isaac, where, you know, he got to the point where he lifted the knife. He was following through. And God said, stop. It's okay. And I had these moments where these sermons were preaching. I'm like, God is just like, is just speaking to my soul. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. I'm like, oh, this is a Sunday. Oh, man, I've been waiting for this moment. And you know what I got? This is what I got from the Lord. Trust me. Trust me. I'm like, okay, we've had this conversation. I do trust you. I do know that you're God in heaven. I do know that you are eternal. You always have been. You're the Alpha, the Omega. I know this. Trust me. It's easy to say. It's not easy to do. There have been different moments in my life where, looking back, I made some decisions, and I'm like, this doesn't even, the people in my world around me were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just trying to trust the Lord. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I'm just trying to do what he's asking me to do. And I think back when me and my wife first started dating, I was a little bit of a jerk, and I'll tell you why, just hang on. When we first started dating, I was 20? She knows the details better than I do. It was a few years ago. We were dating, and we were kind of the first initial thing. We actually met at a job. I was actually at an AC job. I was doing the maintenance on the building and met her. And so we started trying to hang out and spend time together, get to know each other, and I was praying. I was trying to do what I thought was right. And we kind of started the friendship, started a relationship. And then I just told her, can't believe I said this, but I just told her, I said, you know, I'm really been praying about our relationship, and I just don't know that that's where the Lord is leading me. Like, what do you say to that? Like, get out of here. That was what I said, and looking back at it now, I probably could have done things differently, but I was trying to trust in the Lord. I really was praying. I really was saying, God, if this is the woman you have for me, then let me know. And I kind of stepped back, and I don't know if I was just scared. I don't know what it was, but I was trying to trust in the Lord, and it's easy to say, but it's hard to do, and I'm so grateful now. The Lord got my attention, and now we're happily married and a bunch of kids, and I was trying to trust in the Lord. That's from the bottom of my heart. That's what I was doing. I don't know where you are in the process. I don't know how you're trusting in the Lord right now, or how you aren't trusting in the Lord. The reality is you can. if you haven't experienced God moving in your life where you got to a moment and you took a step of faith and you weren't sure what the solution, what the outcome was going to be, but you experienced that God was with you through this moment, you can look back and say, God, I got to remember that. I got to remember that because you were there and you guided me and you walked with me, and I know that I can trust you. Because the truth is, another storm is going to come, right? Something else is going to happen. That's the reality of our world. There's sin in the world. We are not perfect people. Life isn't easy sometimes. You can trust in the Lord. Jeremiah, in the story, this potter, I want to go buy a potter's wheel now because it just looks cool. I want to make something out of clay. And he took it, in the scripture, it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do, so he kind of broke it back down and remolded it and shaped it. As long as you are moldable, pliable, movable, God will transform your life if you're surrendered, if you're trusting, if you are daily seeking his face. And I thought about this song as I was preparing, this song called Surrendered by Chris Kilala. He's from the guy from Jesus Culture. Listen to these words. It says that your love has led me to surrender, to renounce my rights and resign my fear, and trust before I know the answer, laying down my life at the shepherd's feet. That's a trust that I'm hoping to get to in my life. And what I mean is, I'm not preaching at you. I'm learning with you, because it is easy to say that we trust the Lord, but it is much harder to do. And the significantly profound quote that I had for you today is that you can trust in the Lord. And that's deep on so many levels. But there's another quote that I have that's not from me that I think is a little more profound. This is what it says. And I want you to hear it and listen very carefully. The way we live bears the fruit of what we actually believe about God. Did you hear that? The way we live bears the fruit about what we actually believe about God. That stings a little, doesn't it? I can say that I trust in the Lord all day. I can say that he's sovereign. I can say that he's in control. I can say that he's holy, perfect, righteous. I can say that I'm completely surrendered. But our lives bear the fruit of what we actually believe. So it's one simple question. If you don't get anything else from today, maybe you tuned me out a long time ago, that's okay. But if you don't get anything else, 2020 is coming. And I know this past year has been hard for a lot of you. Some of you lost loved ones. Some of you are going through a divorce, or you've been through a divorce. Some of you have struggles with your kids. Some of you, you're in a hard part of the process. Are you like clay? That's the question. If you don't do anything else when you leave this place except just to consider and ponder and think about your life and think about how God is either transforming you because you're not hardened, He's either transforming you and making you more like Jesus, or you're not being transformed. I don't know that there's much of a middle ground. Either you're pursuing God, you're trusting in God, whether you know the answers or not, or you've decided to coast along, come to church every Sunday and sing the songs and leave and not be changed. My hope, my prayer, as I share with you my story, the journey that I've been on, I'm just trying to be moldable. And I say trying because it's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Are you like clay? Let me pray for you. Father, I really do appreciate this opportunity, God, to speak from your word. And Lord, we're not going to have a song at the end of the message. We're just going to, I just want everybody to just bow their heads with me and just close their eyes. Father, I just want them to consider this thought. The potter and the clay. I think sometimes the reason we become hardened, Lord, or the reason we're not moldable and pliable anymore is because we've forgotten who the potter is. We know you're God in heaven. We know, Father, that you created the universe. But I think sometimes, Lord, we forget that you're also here with us. You are also guiding us, leading us. Our job is surrender. We just have to lay things down at your feet and trust you and know that when we see the problem in front of us and we don't have the solution, our response is trust. When we see that there's something happening in our lives that we don't like, our response is trust. And Father, I know all too well that it's easy to say, but it's much harder to do. So Lord, my prayer for everybody in here, everybody that can hear the sound of my voice, that they would take some time today, this evening, tomorrow morning, and just think about that question. Am I like clay in the potter's hands? Lord, I pray that we are. I pray that we're being transformed. But God, I know you want to do a work in us, and you're good, and you're perfect, and you're holy, and I believe that with all of my heart, but we need you. We need your Holy Spirit to change us. We need to be made more like Jesus each and every day. We need to repent of the sin that we have in our lives, God. We need to turn to you first when things come up. We need you. And we need to learn how to trust you no matter what. Help us through the power of your Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. I pray these things. In his name, amen. Thank you for listening, church. I hope this means something to you. You guys have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.